Wasn't that good singing? Sarah, that's good singing. I never heard you sing before. That's wonderful. Pray for Sarah's family, her daddy. Doing the MRI today. Is it today? And maybe surgery tomorrow or Tuesday. An ablation. Is that correct? Or maybe a defibrillator. Okay. Be much in prayer for Mike. Also, Sister Cindy Elkins is going to have surgery Friday. And just a lot going on in the church family. And we need to keep praying. Amen. If you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter number 6. I am continuing a series. I think it's a very timely series. Matthew chapter number 6. And verses 25. And I'll read down to the end of the chapter tonight. If you don't mind, would you stand with your Bible open? I want you to follow me in your word of your Bible tonight. Make some notes if you can. I want to be a help to you. I'm preaching on this theme, Dr. Jesus. And by the way, you'll never find a better doctor than Jesus. Dr. Jesus and his prescription for anxiety. Dr. Jesus and his prescription for anxiety. Verse number 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, and all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth the things you have need of. All these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Our Father, thank you for the word of God. Lord, I need it tonight. I sense, Lord, in Christian tonight, great anxiety. I see a lot of folks that say they're saved and know they're saved, that are caught up with the things of this world. And Lord, they're eat up with anxiety and stress and worry. And God, I pray tonight that you'll help me preach like I've never preached before. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. I want to make a statement before I get into this. This is my second message on Dr. Jesus and his prescription for anxiety. And I this is for me, and this is for you. Anxiety and worry is a sin. Boy, it's quiet in here now. Anxiety and worry is a sin. Boy, I don't know if you got it or not. Maybe I ought to dish that out one more time. Because see, we all want to put all these sins, you know, drinking's a sin and cussing's a sin, and they are, and doing this is a sin. But I want you to know, for us to worry and for us to be anxious, it is a sin. Because you say, what kind of sin is it? You are not trusting God for His provision. Amen. For you. And I don't know if there's a greater sin than that. For children of God who are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus, God said, I'll take care of everything for you. Yet we're anxious. I believe right now, I see more anxiousness in Christendom than I've never seen before. I'm seeing people that I thought there's no way they would move and be so frightened and just put themselves in a closet and hide forever like they are today. Somebody help me preach. I want you to know tonight, you cannot run from this virus. You cannot run from this trouble. But what you ought to do is you need to run to Jesus. Well, hallelujah. Let's talk about anxiety. Here's what it is. It's a feeling of unease. A feeling of uncertainty. I say in the last month, I've had 100 calls. And here's the cause. What do you think is going to happen in the election? How do I know? I mean, the polls say that your next president is Biden. That's what the polls say. I mean, the media says your next president is Biden. And if you amen that, I would like for you to do it low. The poll says this, and popular opinion says that. I have no clue. But I want you to know something. If that old rascal gets in, I'm going to take a baby aspirin, because the same God that has took me through 69 years is the God that's going to take me after the election, before the election. I think He's still on the throne. Amen. And for us to say our life's over if this happens or that's happened, we're saying that God don't take care of us. And I say to you, I'm basing my life on the Word of God that He is going to take care of us. I want to say this. Boy, this introduction, I didn't mean to get so involved in it. You know what we do as believers? We take what we know and set aside. Come on, help me. You know why we struggle with anxiety? It's because it's not that we don't know. It's that we don't live what we know. How many of y'all believe this scripture? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I mean, believe it. Why do we act like it? How many believe this scripture? I shall supply all my needs or all your needs according to my riches and glory by Jesus Christ. How many believe this scripture? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. How many believe this scripture? My grace is sufficient. You said, I know all them verses. How many of y'all on this side have heard all them verses before? How many of you in this middle have heard all them verses before? How many right here has heard all them verses before? How many over here has heard all them verses before? Then let me ask you something. Well, if we've heard them all before, why aren't we living what we've heard instead of ducking down and saying, oh my God, what's going to happen? I want to say one more thing. Before I get into the points, I'll give you last time's point, but I'm not going to re-preach it. And I want you to get this. If you get anything I say, get this. God is not a respecter of persons. He is a respecter of principles. See, God ain't going to say this. I'm going to take care of you, but I'm not going to take care of you. I want you to know God's going to take care of every person in this room that puts their trust in Him. Amen. I was young and I'm now old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Principle number one. And I'll just hit this one because this is where we were last time. And I don't want to re-preach it, but I'll just give it to you. In verse 25, if we're going to have Dr. Jesus' prescription for anxiety, number one, here's what he says to do. Boy, this is deep. Decide not to worry.
Amen.
I mean, there's probably not a day go by that we don't talk about the election, is there? I work with about five radical preachers. That's the craziest bunch I ever seen in my life. But I'll tell you one thing about them. If they're worrying about it, I can't tell it. Because you know what they believe? They believe what I believe is. It's a decision for you to make not to worry. You can worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, or you can choose not to worry what's going to happen tomorrow. And by doing that, first of all, you got to acknowledge the facts. The facts is nothing's safe. The fact is, your job may change. The fact is, your health may change. The fact is, your family may change. But the fact is, Jesus said, I'll never change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And then, we need to appropriate some faith. He said, therefore I say unto you, there's some principles. I have esteemed all thy precepts to be right. Let me ask y'all something. I just want to ask the church a survey question. How many of y'all believe this King James Bible is the Word of God?
Amen.
How many believe it's inerrant?
Amen.
Infallible?
Amen.
Inexhaustible?
Yes, sir.
How many of y'all believe that?
Yes.
Well, then if it's that, why can't we trust it? Hey, by the way, why are we living by our emotions and what Washington is doing instead of what God is doing? Oh, I'm going to preach. I've made up my mind tonight. Need to appropriate some faith. We need to adjust our focus. Take no thought for life. Hey, see, so many times we're so moody. You know why we're moody? Because our focus goes this way all the time. If we keep our focus looking up, we keep our focus looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, I want to tell you, life would be much better. We need to solidify our accounting. Who's he trusting in? We need to stabilize our attitude. We need to rely on God. We need to remember God. And we need to rest in God.
Yes,
sir. But let me go to point number two. I want you to look at verse number 26. Not only do we... Boy, that seems awful simple, Jeremy. Decide not to worry. I mean, that sounds awful simple. You know what? God said it. Whether you like it or not, God said it. Decide not to worry. There's people in this room right now while I'm preaching, you're worrying. Am I going to get the coronavirus this week? How should I know? I'm going to wear a mask, but this week they said a mask don't work. Who you trust? I'll tell you who you trust. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. But I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord. For the name of the Lord is a high tower.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Well, God's given me all these verses tonight. Let me give you principle number two. Look at verse number 26. God, Christ's prescription. Dr. Jesus and his prescription for worry. Number two, discern God's works. Or we're going to see them. See, what the Lord's saying, I like for you to look at my works. Hello? How many of you? Now, Sarah, y'all had to rush and find a doctor. I assume that you tried to find the best one you could. You may even try to get some advice. By the way, I got more. Dr. Kinder's my medical doctor. Dr. Stanton's my heart doctor. Dr. Smith's my electrophysiologist. Dr. Soho, whoever, is my heart failure specialist. My knee specialist is Dr. Legg. And I want all y'all to know, before I got any of those doctors, I checked up on them and their credentials. And by the way, you get a doctor, you might be wise to do the same thing. Because there's a lot of quacks out there. But listen to me. I got a doctor. His name is Jesus. And he's never lost a case. He's never failed in a diagnosis. He's never slipped up and said, oops. Thank God for Dr. Jesus. Amen. Now let me give you under this discern God's works. Would you look at it with me? Just follow me. Follow me. Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? First of all, his care for his creations. How many believe, I hope you believe this, if not you're a nuthead, in what we've got in creation came from an intellectual design, that there is a God that designed everything about us. And by the way, if you believe in evolution tonight, you ought not to be left alone by yourself. I want you to know my God created everything. I'm going to say this. I don't want to upset anybody. But the evolution taught in schools is already obsolete. There's three different lines of evolutionists, and none of them agree with one another, and none of them's right. And by the way, they're still looking for a missing link. But I want you to know something. God don't even try to prove he created anything. He just said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Somebody help me. Now notice his care for creation. First of all, the fowls are fed. Do you know the birds don't do any sowing, Lois? And they do no reaping. And they do nothing in the care of themselves. And everything a bird has been given to them by Almighty God. Amen. Woo! Some of y'all didn't get that, I don't think. Well, I'm about to shout at my own preacher. See, all of creation works together to keep all of creation working together. Not only are the fowls fed, verse 28 says the flowers flourish. Look at it. Boy, I'm preaching. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. God takes care of the flowers. God takes care of nature. Somebody help me preach. I'm going somewhere with this. But let me give you a next thought. His consideration of his children. Look at verse 26. If he's going to take care of the fowls, the flowers, and the fields. Look what he says in verse 26. Somebody go down to the last part of that. Will you, if you're there, say amen. Here's what he says. Are ye not much better than they? Whew. You're God's prized creation. You are God's apple of his eye. Jeremy, if he's going to take care of the flowers and feed the birds, what's he going to do for you?
Amen.
If he's going to take care of something that is insignificant as a sparrow, and something that is insignificant as a little flower, how much more will he take care of you? Because listen, boy, I don't know if I'm going to get much of this, because listen to this. They weren't created in the image of God. I don't think they got that. Let me see if y'all got that. Flowers weren't created in the image of God. Fowls were not created in the image of God. Fields were not created in the image of God. But you were created in the image of God. Amen. And if you're going to take care of all them, how about you believing that he's going to take care of you? I read a list this morning that long of needs in our church. Man, I miss some people. I wish every one of them was in church tonight. But I want you to know, I got a God that made him in his image and is going to take care of them. Woo! Sister Early, when I could get up and testify right now, probably couldn't you? Sister Early, I've been shut in since February. Hadn't seen the light of day since February. Hadn't been to church since February. You said, who took care of her? Who healed her? I tell you who took care of her and who healed her. Her Creator, her God, her Savior, her Lord. Somebody ought to help me preach.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I've been praying for that little boy. I know y'all, I've been watching your email, your Facebook. I know you're real concerned, and I understand. But God's got him.
Amen.
Hey, Braden, God's got you, boy. Give me a thumbs up, will you? And, God's got him. Hey, aren't you glad that God's got our children? Aren't you glad that God's got us all? Aren't you glad that God set us upon the circle of the world? He rules and reigns. I'm just teaching a little bit tonight. See, I'm his creation. And by the way, I'm his choice creation. I don't know if you got that. We are his choice creation.
Yes, sir.
And not only that, I'm his converted creation. He changed my life. He saved me. He adopted me. I'm a child of the King. I'm an heir of God. Joint heir with Jesus. I'm a King's child. Somebody help me preach. Whew. Man, I'm so glad he loves me. How many wave at me and say, I'm glad he loved me? Woo! Thirdly, his control over our circumstances. Look at verse 30 and look at verse 27. I'll read them to you. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe thee, or clothe you, O ye of little faith? Look at verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Now, how many of you think, by your worry, you're going to add 18 inches to your growth? Do you think you'll be a better Christian by worrying? Come on now. You say, I don't know what the stock market's going to do. I don't either. What's the economy going to be like if Joe Biden gets in? You'll be in a socialist area. I don't want to tell you what you're going to be. But I don't know what it's going to be like totally. But I want you to know, I already know God's going to take care of me. Now, don't think I'm conceding election to that Jaybird. I'm just telling you, if he gets in, it's God's will for him to be in. And God's going to take care of us anyhow. Good preaching, Reverend. Somebody said the other day, they said, boy, I can't wait for the vaccine. Do you think that's the answer? I got ladies, a pharmacist, sells pharmaceuticals in the church, and I don't even know she's going to take it. But I want you to know my hope is not built on a vaccine. My hope is not built on the next president. My God knows it ain't built on Pelosi. But my hope is built on nothing less save Jesus and his righteousness. His control of our circumstances. How's the birds eat? He feeds them. How's the grass grow? He makes it grow. How's the flowers flourish? He does it. And then look at verse 28 and 29. Y'all watching this? Well, take your thought for raiment. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of them. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? You know what he's saying? There's a fourth thing I see here, a call to contentment. He said, I'm going to outfit the flowers. I'm going to feed the fowl. I'm going to make the field flourish. How much more am I going to take care of you? You know what I see? Now, can I make a statement or two before I go on? You know why some of us are in so much stress? It's not because God's not supplying our needs. Some of us get so stressed out because we feel like he ain't supplying all of our wants. Maybe you want something you don't need. And why in God's name do you worry about it if you don't need it? I don't think y'all got that. Did they get that? See what we get to? We start worrying about all of our stuff. Got 9 cars in the garage and we're worried we ain't got one more. We got more than our moms and dads had. And our kids got more than we had. And we're not content. Boys, you know what Paul said? Whatsoever state that I'm in, I have learned to be content. If I'm up, I'm going to be content. If I'm down, I'm going to be content. If I'm well, I'm going to be content. If I'm sick, I'm going to be content. So because I don't know what my state's going to be tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen in the election tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But I do know that he's going to take care of me. Amen. I'm going to give y'all one more point. And if I don't get it all done, I'll finish it up next Sunday night. Look at verse 32. I got 7 or 8 minutes to go. I want you to see this. First of all, Jeff, what I say? Decide not to worry. Number 2, discern God's works. Boy, number 3, in verse 32. Distinguish yourself from the world. Look what it says. How many's there? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. You know what? When I start worrying and fretting and falling into anxiety, you know what I'm acting like? I'm acting like a heathen. Boy, it's quiet in here now. I wonder how many of y'all know some of God's children that are acting like heathens. Good preaching, Reverend. You're fretting. You're depressed. You're doubting. See, what it is, you're doubting like the Gentiles to worry. This whole population right now is upside down with worry. Can I ask you a question? Does the fact that you're born again matter for anything? Does that matter for anything? How many believe it matters that you're saved? How many believe it matters that you're a child of God? How many believe it matters that He's on your side? How many believe it matters that you put all your marbles in His basket?
Yes, sir.
Whew. Woo! See, we ought to all be different people than lost people. See, lost people, that's all they look for, is what's going to be on the flesh and what's going to satisfy the flesh. See, a lot of us, oh boy, act so worldly. Come on, help me preach. I heard one amen. A lot of us have a worldly philosophy. By the way, if you don't have the Bible as your backdrop, you are going to worry. See, a lot of us just act just like the world. They're all nuts right now. I mean, I'm talking about nuts. Spanky crazy. Certified lunatics. I mean, some of them about to burn down Walmart for some toilet paper. Hello? Some of them act silly. And when we start living a life of doubt and fretting and depression, we are falling and acting just like the heathen. Oh, I hear people say, oh, how I love Jesus. And we just act just like the devil and like his crowd. We act like, I'm almost done. Some of you are probably glad. We act like he ain't going to take care of us. Let me give you a story. How many remember 9/11? Maybe this country was in more unity then than I've ever seen. And this country was attacked. And stock market hit bottom. Everything went crazy. And we had let me tell you what we had. We had a National Rock of Ages conference scheduled. Y'all remember? 2001. We had already set aside $40,000 of our money to put on that conference. And I had a few people, not my deacons, nobody of leadership, but a few people said this, don't you think maybe we ought to cancel this thing because we ought not maybe try to spend all of our money feeding those missionaries and taking care of them? I had an anonymous note that asked to kind of rip me apart. Brother Richard said, you ought to cancel it. We spent $40,000, fed them. But listen to this. During that bleak time, we just trusted God. Dr. Ron Gerst got up and said, we need $100,000 raised. That's above our $40,000 that we were paying. Remember that, Rich? Remember that, Jeff? You probably do. Now, I want to tell you how good my God is. And I'm getting ready to get out of here. I'm going to sit down there and talk to you, man. Can y'all see me all right over there? I'm going to tell you how good God is. We started taking that offering, huh? I had one guy come up to me and said, there ain't no way they're going to get $100,000. They ain't going to get $10,000. And the meeting went from Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, maybe Thursday. I don't remember. But on the last day, they totaled that thing all up. And them missionaries were praying all the time. Our staff was praying. We were asking God to take care of us, supply the need. When that offering come in, it was $135,000. And most of the people's 401k hit rock bottom in those 3 months. And you said, well, how, where in God's name did $135,000? And where in God's name did y'all have enough money to feed them and put them up in motels and take care of them? I'll tell you where it came from. It came from a God who never runs out. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and owns the taters in the hills. And we ought not worry like a bunch of heathen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes,
I'm done. Lois, bow your head with me. Let me ask you a question. And I want you to confess up. How many of you right now in the room tonight have been fretting too much? And been worrying too much? You've been letting the devil have a heyday in your life. Raise your hand. Just confess. I see those hands. At least somebody's honest. How many right now say, preacher, I know I need to be trusting God more. I know I do. And I do want to follow Him. I want to make it through this wicked time we're living in. Maybe some of us just come around the altar. Pray for the sick. Pray for one another. Pray for those that's going through it. Stand with me. Folks are coming already to pray. Father, thank you that you got my back. Thank you going to take care of everybody. Supply their needs. Help us, Lord. And we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. People are coming. You come.
My hope is